Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, we'll be talking to Angela McGee, who will be speaking to us about her work as a medium and psychic detective. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Thank you very much for asking. And I'm looking forward to the show this evening, your interview, your guest.
I am too. So tell us about what you do on Psychic Access and in your life.
Yeah, you want me to start with 1945? Yeah, I'll start. I am a psychic intuitive spiritual advisor. I'm also an empath, but I utilize the tarot as my main tool. I'm self-taught in every way, and what I get is projections. Sometimes, like slow motion movies in my head, I pick up or I feel intensely, and that's that empathic stuff, kind of tormenting. But I must do my work, and I love my work, and I genuinely like or I love helping others. It might gain some insight from maybe something what I might have to say or feel.
Well, it's definitely a calling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not for the faint-hearted.
Thanks, Brenda.
Well, thanks, Maureen. Okay, Steve, how are you doing tonight?
I am very well, thank you, and looking forward to the show, Brenda.
So tell us about what you do for... What is your specialty?
My specialty, vanilla espressos.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, with Trace Letcher's cake.
Ooh, I want some.
I know. If only we could all have that during the radio show, if we could all be in the same room. Well, Brenda, I'm a psychic medium, so as a child I would see spirit externally and communicate with people in spirit externally as we communicate with each other as different human beings, and as I grew older it became telepathic. So my primary skill is mediumship and providing insight to clients, but insight from spirit. I do use tarot a little as well, and I am a hermetic astrologer, so I qualified as an astrologer some time ago, and I'm fascinated by the use of astrology, not only in helping individuals to understand themselves, to predict events and help to define outcomes, but also in crime resolution and prevention and other interesting things like that. I've been a co-host for 3 years, and I enjoy our Thursday evenings together.
Oh, yes, they are special, aren't they? So many great subjects and so many great guests. Thank you,
yes.
Steve.
Thank you.
And Stephen.
Hi.
Tell us about yourself.
Well, right now I'm trying to use my psychic powers to reduce the humidity index, and I'm failing miserably at that.
Isn't there like a rain dance? Maybe you can have like a humidity dance or something like that.
I tell you, I need like a whole tribe of Hopi and Navajo combining their forces to reduce the temperatures around here. I'm in the south, and it's awful, just absolutely awful, but I'm surviving. I'm surviving.
When I think about where you live, I always think of moonshine or white lightning. Do they still cook it out there? No.
They certainly do. You can get it in all kinds of flavors, dump a lot of fruit in it. Interestingly enough, it's not so much illegal to make it for yourself. You just can't sell it. You can't make it in bulk. But just briefly what I do over there at Psychic Access, I specialize in empowering people in their relationships and their careers. And it's a career calling that I actually resisted for a while. And the longer I resisted it, the more passion I have for it. So here I am, actually.
And what is it that you do? Do you read tarot?
My methods include tarot and astrology, and of course using my own innate psychic sensitivity and empathic abilities. And again, I specialize in empowering people in their relationships and providing them some career direction and some clarity in their lives. And I love doing it. I love what I do, working with all of you and psychicaccess.com.
And you are very talented at it, I might say.
Thank you, Lady Brenda, as are y'all.
Oh, I like that y'all. And that y'all leaves leaves me. I am a predictive psychic, and I specialize in dates, times, and places. I use the crystal ball, the tarot, and the playing cards. And I work with all you lovely people at psychicaccess.com. So, without further ado, let's go on and talk about our guest for today. Her name is Angela McGee, and she's been captivating audiences for a number of years in the United States and Europe and the UK. She connects with spirit, with ease and compassion, and she leaves audiences comforted by the sheer awe of her messages. In the last 15 years, she has served over 200 spiritualist churches in the UK alone. She spent 3 years on the Afterlife radio show in the U.S., transmitting to several states live messages each week to enchanted listeners. Her journey began as a little girl. Her early recollection of visitors was during the time spent in a Catholic convent at the age of 4 years old. Despite opposition, she was led to uncover and expose the spirit world communications as she grew in knowledge of her angels, guides, and faith, giving words of comfort to many people along the way on a trail to self-discovery. She learned that grief, trauma, and tragedy that she had to endure helped develop her insights, which gave her a unique connection to the spiritual realms. Angela is an ex-social worker whose true gift illumined as she began to embrace public demands on her medium and visionary gifts. The police have come to her for help in caring, in gaining evidence. Her work with murder and missing person cases has led her to be called the psychic detective. For more information on Angela, visit her at www.angelamcghee, and that's mcghee.co.uk. Hello and welcome, Angela.
Hello, Lady Brenda. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm so thrilled that you're on the show today. Really am.
And so am I.
We have been looking forward to this. And a little bit in your blurb that I just gave was, and I kind of wanted you to elaborate on it, was when did you realize or recognize your gifts as a medium and an empath, and were you able to see things?
I think the realization came when I was a little bit older, but the word psychic and medium was not around me as a child, and it wasn't part of my everyday life, although there were things happening to me as a child that I recognized looking back. Something really special was happening. I think I was about age of 4 years old, 5 years old. I was pulled on my mother's dresser one day and told her that a neighbour had been taken away in an ambulance. And she said, "Don't be so silly, I've just spoken to him." And sure enough, the very next day, he was taken away in an ambulance and he'd obviously crossed over. I think that, in reflection, that was probably one of my first messages. But I used to have very vivid dreams as a child, and quite often those dreams would unfold a couple of weeks later or days later. So I was having like prophetic visions within the dream state. But the turning point when I knew something really special was happening was when I was about 10 years old. My grandmother had passed over, and she appeared to me on the night that she passed over with a message to say that she would be back to see me later. And that was in a vision that appeared at the bottom of my bed. I knew then that something special was happening, because this time it was somebody who I loved, and I was able to make that connection. But before that, I would see spirit children in the playground while playing at school. And on my school reports, it's noted that I was always chatting in a daydream. And now I realize in meditation, that's the sort of state that you you actually become in, is you actually withdraw within and become withdrawn, and that makes your connection to the spirit realm.
Wow, that is really interesting. I love the part, that gave me chills when you talked about your grandmother at the foot of the bed, because that seems to be a common thing, like right after they die, they end up looking at you at the foot of the bed. It's interesting, isn't it?
There's so much common thread with everybody that has these kind of experiences. But for myself, they came too fast, too often, and too furious to actually dismiss them as, you know, the occasional one-off experience. I knew that, they, you know, having a barrage of these events growing up, and especially with my grandmother saying she just appeared in a kind of hazy ball of light, and she was waving to me, and she just said, "I'm all right, but I'll be back to see you later." And it was 7 years later, when I was 17 years old, but living in a different city, she reappeared with a message that I had to travel on a 200-mile trip to get an answer that I needed at the time. And I took it on board without any question or doubt. I get up the very next morning and I pack my bags and I traveled that 200 miles without even questioning it. And then I realized that she actually told me to go and see my Uncle Bob, and he was somebody who hadn't seen for many years. Hadn't seen since a small child. And he actually lived on the mountain in Wales. I went and traveled not knowing that whether he still had the same phone number or the address. But when I arrived that night and knocked the door, every member of my father's house, my father's family, was in that house for that one night only, and the only person missing from that get-together would have been my grandmother. I took her place. I did try to tell my grandfather that my grandmother had sent me, in a way, but I was just 17, too immature, or maybe couldn't fully understand what was happening. But I knew then that I had mediumistic gift, because I was able to receive a message, act upon it, and get a result.
Now I like that point, because, you know, so many times, you know, you'll get the message, the psychic message, or however you receive it, psychically through mediumship, but if you don't act on it, then the proof isn't there. Wouldn't you agree?
That is totally, because I always say that spirit does not use a certain amount of energy to communicate. They don't use it for nothing. They need to, you know, for you to be able to receive it, but most importantly, is to act upon it.
And that is difficult too, because, you know, even when, like, we're all psychics here as the hosts of the show, and people ask for, you know, questions, and a lot of times we'll tell them and they don't act upon it, and then it happens. And then you think about what would happen if you had acted upon it. You know, could it have changed the course? Would it have been the result that they needed, and so forth. So are any of your family members, does this run in the family? I'm curious, because a lot of times this type of stuff does run in the family. Talent.
Well, apparently the grandmother that appeared to me, what I didn't know at the time as a child, which I found out as an adult, she was well known for being a lady with a gift. I mean, again, the word psychic and medium was not around in that generation or within our culture of being, you know, devout Catholics. It was something we didn't talk about. It was just, if you had that intuition or the gift of knowing, it was a gift. He didn't question it, but she was a lady that was renowned for it. She was especially renowned during wartime, when she was able to tell, especially when people got telegrams to say that their loved ones were believed missing, believed dead. She was able to say, no, I can see you celebrating, having the bunting up, they're coming home. So she was able to give hope, and I think that's what messages are about. It's the fundamental essence of a message is about giving people hope for the future, the hope to an answer that's worrying people, or, you know, fundamentally, it is what we give is totally hope.
that and preparing them for the future too, which equates to hope. And that was actually one of my questions too, was, you know, why do you think people seek out mediums? And you already gave that. And the answer of hope, I really like it. I like it said that way. And instead of dire warnings, where it used to be a couple hundred years ago or more that if you had the sight, it was sometimes they thought it was negative, and that it was always, you know, if you went and you got a reading, it's going to talk about death. What are your views about death as a medium?
Well, I know there's no such thing as death. It's just a continuation of life. There's evolution of the soul. Mediums bring proof every day of the continuation of life, because they will connect with a loved one who will come through, describe who they are, where they lived, how they dressed, familiarities between the loved one here and them in spirit. And then maybe if they need to say something, they will say something. Obviously, it's words of comfort and love. But there are times when, again, they will give you some guidance, advice, and maybe a warning, but never a warning where it will instill anxiety into somebody. I think that words choose, the right spirit chooses the right words in a very subtle way to tell you certain things in life. And then when things happen, you look back and you think, yes, that's what she meant. I remember being on a murder case, and I had a mother in front of me, and her son had had hands in killing her partner. I couldn't tell a mother her son's just killed a partner, although the spirit of the victim came through to said to me, it's her son, in those clear words. So I sort of froze for a while, thinking, you can't tell a mother her son's just killed a partner. How would you relay that in a responsible manner? And all I said was, there is three men involved, and one of them is known to your partner very well. And that's how it was chose to be put across by spirit. Because I always say the right spirit would not instill fear or anxiety. When you have a sitting with a medium, you should be leaving feeling uplifted and comforted.
That's very traditional and very old school. It really is. That is a difficult situation when you get the information, and some of it's kind of negative. How do you relay it? But we do. We have a responsibility to relay it, though. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes, you do. It's about choosing your words carefully, because some people can come across very negatively and very damning by saying, you know, you're going to have, you know, for example, oh, I can see a car crash, and you're going to have a car, and this is going to happen. That every day that person would be looking around the corner over a shoulder. Is this the day I'm going to have a car crash? You wouldn't say that sort of thing to them. You may say, oh, there's some trouble, you know, with an accident, but don't worry, you'll come through the other end. Things will be fine by the time such a time comes. And there's always, we've all got to go through things in life, because this journey is about one lesson after the other. It's not about perfection, it's about a learning curve. But we do have to go through things and come through, hopefully, the other side. And that's when spirit comes through to give us messages of hope, because we go through these things in life. But then there's always light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, we have a question from one of the other co-hosts. And I know that you do a lot of work with the afterlife, and we're going to talk about your book, Angela's Angels, in just a moment. But Stephen, who's one of our co-hosts, has asked... Stephen, why don't you ask yourself?
Okay, thank you very much, Brenda.
This is Stephen, Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hello, Stephen.
I would like to know, what's the best way for me to prepare myself for crossing over the birth that is death? How can I prepare for that transition? What's the best way to prepare for it?
The best way, sometimes, some people don't usually get preparation, do they? But preparation starts... as we become responsible adults, and we know that the inevitable end of the process is going to happen, the end of our lives. And a lot of people subconsciously, even if they're not spiritually attuned, will know that as we go through life, we become much wiser, much more knowledgeable, much more our experiences teach us things. If we don't learn from an experience, sometimes it's repeated until we learn. But then it's to prepare ourselves to cross over, it's about making peace. Peace within our souls, peace within ourselves, and peace with the people around us.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela. So let's talk about what was your very first case with the what led you to work with the police, and how did that come about?
How did it come about? It was the fact that I didn't actually choose to become a medium. Shall we say that? I didn't actually
It chose you. We know it must be.
Well, I didn't even choose to work with the police. I mean, spirit sort of chose me with the answers and put me in positions where I would be connected. So what happened was the connection with my first murder, the connection actually happened 10 years before. As it unfolded, I remember going into, you know, out shopping one day thinking I've got a day off. But if you're a medium, you never have a day off because you're a channel to receive and you don't know where, you don't know when. And it's like a bit like martini, any time, any place, anywhere. Don't know whether you've seen that advert. But the connection with the first murder happened 10 years before. I was out shopping. And then it's just one of those instrumented moments where I felt drawn to speak to a lady who was the manager of the shop. I just went up to her and said, "Excuse me, love. I said, I'm a local medium. I said, I know you're able to understand this message and you will be able to receive it." And she went, "Oh, yes, I do believe." And I just went, "You've got a mum in spirit, a mother in spirit." I said, "But why am I hearing?" She's telling me, "You've got to play it safe. You've got to," those are the words, "you've got to play it safe." And she said, "I'm trying to escape from a violent man." And I said, "Well, you've got to play it safe, my love." And then I went, "Don't worry, there's a man with dark hair, with black moustache, with lots of black cars around him." And she went, "That's my new friend. He's an undertaker, hence the black cars around him." But that message was, as I left the shop, I said to her, "I can see you managing public houses," which was bars in your sort of terminology. And she said, no, she said, "I did that years ago." And I said, "Oh, okay then." I said, "Cheerio, but please play it safe." Anyway, it was 18 months later, I'm looking for a venue for a christening, and I walk into a local bar, and who's behind the counter but the lady from the shop. And it was that lady who then became a manager of a public house, who then phoned me one day and said she'd had a robbery, that they'd stolen money out of the gambling machines on the premises. And she said to me, "Come on up," she said, "you might be able to help." So I went up, you know, very reluctantly. And then I stood there and I had a series of visions. And I just went, "Look, there was two men over there smashing that machine. And at the same time, there was another man over the other side of the room smashing the other machine." And she said to me, "My goodness, all that's on CCTV camera." And I went, "Well, don't worry." And this is where the prophetic and the hope came. And she said, "Don't worry. They'll have the cheek of the devil and come back here and buy a meal." And 3 days later, three men came back in that public bar and bought a meal. And I just so happened to be passing at the time and called over Carol, the lady, and she then called the police and they got arrested. But then it was some time after that, months down the line, I had another phone call from her, to say that a publican like herself had been murdered, and she begged me to go down. And I reluctantly said again, "But this is not just a crime, this is murder." And I made a half promise. But then on my travels a few days later, I was in London and I was chilling out in a beautiful garden, and then I heard the voice of my father's spirit. And all I heard him say was, "What about this murder?" And I knew then I had to visit the scene of the crime. And then a few days later, while I was back home, I went to visit the scene of the crime. And as I drove onto the car park of the public house. I looked over at the house and had the first vision. And it was of three men climbing a black fire escape staircase over some railings and then in through some French windows. And I knew exactly that there was three men involved in this. And then with that first vision, it gave me the courage to knock the door. And I just said, and just so happened, the victim's partner answered the door. And then I had a series of visions, one after the other, piecing it together. But, you know, I did relay that first message to her in the first vision I saw. And she just said, how do you know they got in there? She said, of all the doors on this building, she said, how do you know got through there? I had to reassure her that I was genuine. And then she invited me in, and as we climbed the stairs, I saw a second vision of chairs in a room being all knocked over. I said, where are you taking me? The chairs were all knocked over. And she said, actually, upstairs is the restaurant and all the chairs were knocked over. But when we entered the restaurant, all the chairs had been cleared because the forensics had been. And there were several doors leading off the restaurant. And I pointed to one door and I said, that's the door I want to go, you know, I'd like to go through. And she said, just hold on, I'll move the dog. She had this dog, obviously, for protection. And little did I know that she was actually putting rugs over the bloodstains, not to give me any clues. But, you know, in reality, in my reality, she's trying to disguise, you know, things for spirit. And, of course, I went through the door, and it was a long corridor with several rooms leading off. And I just said, I want to go to this bedroom here. And as I stood in the doorway, I could see two men struggling, splattered with blood. And I said to her, there was a struggle that took place in this spot here. And as I entered the room, I could see Mick's body lying under the window and the injuries. And I just said to her, Mick's body was found lying under that window there. But this time she was quite a state. And she kept saying, how do you know all this? How do you know all this? And then I turned my back. And as I turned my back to glance at the corridor, I see the three young men running down the corridor carrying something the size of a shoebox. And I said, they're carrying something the size of a shoebox and they're running out, fleeing out of here. And she said, yes, the safe is the size of a shoebox. And then she said, and she was still very, very shaken. And I too was having one flashing vision after another of what had happened within that room. Then she said to me, please, please tell me it's going to get solved. And then all of a sudden, within my visions, because visions are not necessarily of dead people, visions are obviously of the living people who have caused, you know, who have been involved with the crime at this point. So within that, those series of visions, I then get a communication from the murder victim himself. And he appeared in front of me and he was showing me a gold chain bracelet. And I said to the his partner, there was something about a gold chain bracelet. And she said, there was a robbery 6 weeks before this where his gold chain bracelet went missing. And as soon as she said that, I heard his words, it's her son. And that's when I held back and realised, you can't tell a mother her son's just murdered a partner. And then I asked Spirit for the, you know, obviously they've instrumented me. And then I said the words appropriately, that there was three of them and Mick knows one of them very, very well. So, as I was leaving, she said, please, please tell me this is going to get solved. And then very prophetically, as sometimes I do say things very prophetically, I said, 4 months from now, they'll round up three men and a woman. And she went, a woman? And I went, yeah, there's a woman involved in this somewhere. And she knows everything about what's happened. And she went, no, no, no. She totally refused, you know, to think that a woman would be involved in this sort of thing. But that's what I heard, and I just had to give what I received. And I said, yeah, there is a woman involved in this. It will be found out. So as we left via a different sort of entrance, we went down a different staircase, we had to go through a bar, and as I glanced over at the bar, there was a young man behind the bar, and then all of a sudden I went cold looking at him, and I knew he was one of the culprits. I knew I was looking at a son then. But I left the building that day thinking, dear God, why me? Why have you shown me all that? And I didn't know there was going to be a good purpose was obviously to relay information and help in that situation with an answer. But I didn't know that, you know, 3 years after that, it would be turned into a TV documentary that circulated the globe and went to 85 different countries. But the uncanny thing about that, the continuation was, I came home, went on, carried on with my work for a few days, and I had a phone call from a woman who said, from another side of town, said she needed me desperately to come and see her. So I obliged and went to see her. She had a sitting, her mother came through, and then all of a sudden she said, I said, well, your mother's here, but she's saying that she's with somebody called Michael. I said, and she's insisting his name's Michael, but everybody knew him as Mick. And then all of a sudden I had the same spirit visit me, and it was Mick from the pub murder. And then I said to her, I said, oh my goodness, I've got Mick from the pub murder here. She went, he's my brother. So Mick communicated a second time, and this time he reassured her that she would get justice, and she would get justice three times. And she said to me, you were so spot on with my mother. I just hope you're right with the information you give me about my brother. And I said, yes, yes. He's shouting justice, justice, justice three times. And apparently, I also said to her, we had a link with Stafford, an area some miles away. And she said, no, no, no. She said, Mick hasn't got a link with Stafford. But what unfolded was, to cut a long story short, really, 4 months after the day of my visit, they rounded up three men and a woman. The woman was a young girl who had drove them to the public house and dropped them off. And they all got done. They all got 20 years apiece, with three men involved.
Wow.
Hence the justice, justice, justice. They got maximum sentences. The young lady got a lesser of offence, 6 years, for aiding and abetting. And in the documentary that was made, you've got the sister saying there's no way on earth that Angela said something about my Mick having a link with Stafford. And, excuse me, what turned out to be was the Crown Court hearing, the final hearing was at a place, Birmingham Crown Court, but on the Friday before the Monday for the final hearing, it got transferred to Stafford. I have no doubt that Mick's spirit was in the court that day watching that final hearing when he got his justice.
Well, he definitely came through strong. That is pure evidence of, you know,
a spirit
coming through, giving you this information. We're going to pause for 1 minute, Angela, for a commercial, and then we'll get right back, okay?
Right. Thank you, Brenda.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, let's hold that thought. So, tell us about your calling. We were talking about your calling as a medium and how it has to be instilled as a service. And we talked a little bit about your first really intense case here. So, what were you? Let's continue the conversation you were saying with Steve.
Well, people who, like myself, I never wanted to be a medium. I didn't even know what the word meant. But, I mean, obviously I've learned since through experiences and through direct contact with my spirit guide in the spiritual realms. I wake up with very vivid dreams, words from spirit, and quite often they will teach me things and tell me things. But to be a medium, I think, you know, first and foremost, is that want to serve others and to help. You've got to be that type of personality. And then there's a responsibility with it. But then there's a genuine love of people and the fact that you're here to serve others on earth. Because this journey is not about conducting yourself. It is, in a way, conducting yourself, having personal responsibility. But it's also about what you do for others, regardless of, you know, what type of work you do. Because remember, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And we're sent to this earth plane to do a journey, but the journey is about helping others first and foremost.
Well, I think that that's everybody's in one form or the other. We get so disconnected in the mundane world, and you know, we don't find what our purpose is. Now, you were speaking about guides. Now, who are some of your guides? Do you know who they are? Are they relatives? Is it your grandmother?
Well, I know that, you know, what I've learned from spirit is that when we do, we're all born with a guide, and your guide changes accordingly depending on what you're going through at the time. It's a bit like, you know, if you've got a leak, they'll send you a plumber, in that sort of sense. Whereas it's like if you're going through a particular experience, they're going to send you someone from the spirit world who've made, shared or experienced that experience themselves in a previous life, and they have the advice and the guidance to help you. As we know, guides don't step in every second when we demand them, because there are things that we have to learn and things about our journey that has to unfold and that we have to learn ourselves. Well, they know when to intervene, and it is at crucial times in your life, and the most crucial times. But I am aware that I used to have, you know, the vivid dreams from a child that would become prophetic, you know, happenings. But there was two nuns that used to appear to me, and I dismissed them as a reflection of a time, a traumatic time being placed in a convent as a child. So I used to dream about them regularly until they started to talk to me, and I remembered what they were saying to me. There was one nun who said to me, "You will grow up and tell the world about the spirit." Didn't know exactly what that meant. When I went into spiritualism, which is a religion, I thought they'd missed a word off the end by saying, "You're going to tell the world about the spirit world." But it wasn't. It was about the spirit, the whole encompassing word involving spirit, everything connected to that word. Because it's about, you know, our spiritual journeys. It's about discovering the power of spirit and the spirit of God in corporate, and also the hierarchy of the spiritual realms. But, you know, my guides became, there was one of the guides that stepped in, and I discovered personally who she was. And what it was, I was having healing from a healer one day, and I drifted off in a meditative state, and I saw this nun, but she wasn't like the nuns that I used to know. She appeared in a short white headdress, and her mouth was moving. I could see the picture, and she just said, "My name is Therese, and you will find me in a book," and she just disappeared. Well, my healing had finished. The girl that was, you know, had her healing hands on me said, "You know," she said, "I'm not mediumistic like you, but when I was healing or trying to heal you, I saw a nun." And I said, "Oh," and so did I. And her words were, "But she's not like the nuns," she said, "that, you know, you think of in black and white. She had this short white headdress on." And I said, I saw her exactly the same. I said to her, "Did she speak to you?" And she went, "No." I said, "Yes, she spoke to me." She said, "Her name is Therese, and I'll find her in a book." So with that, again, I felt instrument to go and search. And I went to libraries and books, and I scanned, you know, computers. Who's this nut, you know? And then, pardon the pun, I gave up the ghost. And it was 18 months later, I just so happened to be in a Catholic bookshop. And I scanned, you know, my eyes scanned the bookcase, and I saw a lady with her hair up in a bun and a Victorian sort of high-collared neck dress. And I recognised the face, and I just said to the lady behind the counter, see the lady down there on the front of that book? I said, she wasn't a nun by any chance. She went, you're only looking at St. Teresa of Lisieux. And of course, I had to buy the book. And when I bought the book, I opened it up, and she was one saintly lady who had a lot of photographs, was able to take of her because she lived, or should we say she passed, I think, don't quote me, but it was about 1923 when she passed back to spirit. She was quite a famous nun who became a saint. And obviously, it was obviously St. Teresa, who I grew up called St. Teresa of the Roses, but didn't make the connection because I never ever saw a photograph of her. I always saw, you know, one of these elaborated prayer cards with a picture on. So when I saw her face for real, I realised it was the lady that's been communicating with me. And that was my, you know, confirmation. And there she was in the book with the short white headdress on as a novice nun.
Fascinating.
And that was, to me, concrete evidence, basically. And her voice, obviously with a French accent, sometimes I hear. But again, it's been at poignant times in my life. It's not that I can call her up every day on a phone line. I wish I could. But I know, for some reason, my little channel receives her communication. The strange thing was, I bought the book and read a life story, and there is that many uncannily parallels in our lives. You understand the parallels, yeah?
Of course, that's really fascinating. So,
but the fascinating parallels very quickly was, she was the youngest of seven children, so was I. She was brought up by a single parent, so was I. She lived at number 36, so do I. She suffered migraine, so do I. And also, there's two photographs of her as a child and one again as a teenager. And the strange thing, we had the same hairstyles in those photographs at those ages. And the strange thing is, I have a daughter. And when you put the picture, the photograph of Therese next to my daughter's, they are so much alike. Everybody says, is that your puppy? And I go, no, that's St. Teresa as a child.
Well, that again is more evidence of the circle and the continuation of the life force, and the reincarnation. It could very well be a straight reincarnation.
Sorry. I do believe in reincarnation. I've been shown and given too much evidence of it. And I know
absolutely.
That, you know, Hinduism is based on research on the under 5-year-olds, should we say, or the evidence that they produce. Because I think that, you know, under 5, young children will give you the greatest evidence, dates, times, events that have taken place in times when you know that they've not been around.
That's because they're unfettered by the physical world. They're still open to spirit, and what they're telling you, their parents will squash it down. Ah, you're telling lies. They don't make up those stories, but they really are relaying evidence of their past lives. Yes. Now, I have heard from other mediums that I know that sometimes working so intensely with spirit affects you physically. Have you experienced any illnesses related to your work?
You're exactly right. I've never met a healthy medium. Oh, yeah. Migraine especially, and that's a classic. Retention, water retention, because when you think about it, water conducts energy, and we're 70% water. And if spirit energy is like electricity, because it is an energy force, you know, the more water we carry, the more receptive we are. But I always say in my lectures, and when I'm training people, or should we say, when I'm tutoring people, difference, I always say that, you know, you should drink a glass of water when you're working, because water conducts energy. And also, you know, you have to be careful about treating yourself kind, looking after the physical body, to make it a better receptor. Because if you don't, you kind of take on ailments of the spirit, because they'll bring in, you know, what they had passed with. They'll give you, you know, excuse me, they'll give you, maybe it's somebody around me who had a bad chest because I've got a bit of a cough now. excuse me. But,
And how do you protect yourself from that? I mean, I know it's not possible to protect yourself all the time, but how would you cleanse your, would you do a cleansing afterwards or protect yourself beforehand?
Well, I believe in the power of prayer and meditation. I always, before I work, I always say my prayers, and it's within that prayer state. Quite often, if I'm called to murder cases, and I'm quite, you know, over-vigilant about wanting to connect, shall we say, the want is, you know, severely great, thinking, you know, these poor women, these poor people are in dire straits. They're probably flying me from one end of the country to another. They're wanting, you know, answers to a serious situation, you know, more serious than most, should we say. And I always, always have learned from that is I always say my prayers beforehand, before I go to sleep the night before. Well, I say them every night, but, you know, if there is a murder case, I'm begging and pleading with God. I go into my meditative state, and quite often I'll be given the first vision connected to the murder before I arrive the next day. And there's been a number of murder cases where I'm shown something first. But it's all about preparation. It's about you being kind to your body and trying to look after yourself, you know, make sure you eat the right things. I mean, ideally, being vegetarian helps, because your channel has to be pure. Drink plenty of water, don't drink, don't smoke, you know, all vices, should we say. But we're only human, aren't we? So
no martinis or red wine, huh?
Yeah, because alcohol can actually distort the spirit body from the physical. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay, I like that.
It does. It disconnects.
Well, before we run out of time, Angela, I want to talk about your book, Angela's Angels.
Angela's Angels was published by Hay House here in England. First, it was initially had a nun on the front, but now it's a pink cover now. And it was snapped up by Hay House because of, you know, the endorsement of the chief police, saying a wonderful quote, which he spoke in the documentary. He actually said, "If I ever found myself in the position of the victim's family, I certainly would go down the road to the olive branch of hope that Angela was able to offer." And I think that sums me up, really. I offer hope to people in the direst of straits, with visions from spirit and communication, giving you answers to questions. But the book was one of the hardest things to write. I mean, in my head, I've got 10 books. I'm on my fourth book at the moment. But that was kind of a life story which I had to touch upon, because it's been such a colourful life. But what I decided was to take the best spiritual experiences from each decade of my life and sort of string it together, because the book was about my spirituality and my spiritual experiences. I also had to say, you know, where the connection was made and what was happening at the time. And quite often it was, you know, in the most traumatic moments in my life, I've been given the greatest evidence of the spirit world. And it's during those times that, you know, the greatest connection and, you know, was made, and I got my answers, visual, wonderful things happened, or should we say paranormal things were happening, which I didn't understand. But if you read the book as a child, each decade tells you the link between these spiritual experiences, and you can see the development of the gift through the decades, to the extent where now police use me on murder cases.
Do they call you up, or they already know about you? You're well
known
to them.
They know me. Quite often they come in incognito. They visit my house.
That was going to be my question, because sometimes the police here in the United States, they don't want to admit that they would benefit from using a psychic or a medium on a murder or a crime case, but they do end up seeking you out.
Oh, yes. And you know, it's not about actually solving the case. You're actually, one of the favourite sayings of one of my detectives is, you know, I'm a tool that helps to gather the evidence. We don't actually solve it. We become part of the gathering of the evidence. And what we do is we go in, we confirm details of maybe a line of inquiry that they're thinking along. We obviously are told no information whatsoever. Quite often they just take me to crimes of scenes and locations. They can put, you know, I'm in a car with a detective, and he'll just say, right then, tell me what you see round here, and then it'll all unfold. And there was one particular case which was which is the start of this new book called the new book coming out soon called The Afterlife's Guide to Living, because that starts with a serial killer, a suspect serial killer, and an officer took me to a housing estate and just said, tell me what you see here. And I said, I want to go to the cul-de-sac that we've just passed. He said, well, get out the car then. And of course I went to the cul-de-sac, and as I outside the house, as I glanced over the house, I could see a boy hanging on the stairwell. I got back in the car and said, there was a boy found hanging on the stairwell in the number 2 house. I said, but it was not now, it was 1980s. He said, you're exactly right. And then very prophetically, my head turned and I went, yes, and you know it's all to do with the lodger. And he looked at me and he said, our prime suspect was the lodger in that house.
Now, a lodger is a renter.
A lodger is somebody who temporarily lives with a family or is boarded up.
Okay.
The family is staying at a family's home, and they're not related.
So that was the beginning, huh?
That was the beginning of a day of a number of locations that I was taken to across many miles. And literally, it was piecing together a guy that they'd got who they suspect was a serial killer. And I unfolded almost every one that they wanted to know about, which was 4 young men that had been suspiciously, 2 of them were actually found hanging, but they were labelled suicides back in 1980s. But the new evidence that they'd found had reopened the case, because it was quite heavy going. I mean, the last one is one that I would never forget, because he took me into a thick of woods and there was hundreds of trees. I pinpointed the one tree where a boy was found hanging. And then I realised, I said to him, this boy was dead before he was strung up. And then I had a vision of the man. I just was able to describe him. And he just said, you're exactly right. And because he started questioning me about my visions that I was having in very, very in very great detail, like, for instance, he was saying, oh yes, you can see a boy, tell me, what is he wearing, what's the colour of the rope, anything else you can tell me. And then when I saw the man, he said, tell me what the man's wearing. And then he wore something very significant, like this strange woolly looking hat, and I described it to a T, and he said, I've got a photograph of our suspect wearing that hat. And obviously I was exactly right about the boy, and even the minute detail to the 2 knots and the ring that was in the rope. And he showed me the picture of the rope, which he had, which had 2 rings and a knot in it.
Did they catch him?
Oh, yes, they've got him. It's just that he's a prime suspect. They've got him for 2 murders, but they realised he's done a lot more.
Well, this is... So when is this new book going to be coming out? Are you going through Hay House again?
No, not this time. I'm debating what to do with it, but it's complete and finished. But again, it's all about the new book. The great, I mean, Angela's Angels is still circulating. It won awards. Everybody tells me it's going to make a great movie. I'm hoping somebody out there would turn it into a movie. And I know
you never know.
Show me
that would be fabulous if that happened.
That somebody will pick it up. So I'm just waiting for that day. Because each chapter tells a story. In Angela's Angels, there's people, wonderful people I've met on my journey. Rock stars, nobility, royalty, saints and sinners. In the book, there's Paul McCartney, Ozzy Osbourne. You know, I don't want to name drop, but they've all been part of my life.
I love Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, do you? Well, he recently paid me a compliment, but I can't repeat it.
Well, I'm just going to have to get a copy of your book, Angela.
Yeah. But you see, my claim to fame has not just been me. I used to date Ozzy Osbourne's brother, and I would have been an Osbourne before Sharon.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
And then, of course, I am famed for channeling Linda McCartney just after she passed, because see, my connections was I met the McCartneys in the 70s on many occasions, because I lived around the corner in London. And we used to meet up, chat, you know, have hearty talks, you know, joke with each other, because we're both from Liverpool, me and Paul. But you can't tell by the accent now because I talk dead posh. So I've got a collection of things with Paul McCartney.
That is so fascinating. Well, you know, Angela, we're at the end of our interview right now. I wish we could talk for hours and hours. And I really, you know, so grateful that you took time out of your early, early morning. What time is it in England?
Oh, well, I did get the time wrong. I mean, I was you were 8 hours behind, but no, I think it's about 2 o'clock now in the morning. Oh. So that's not too bad.
Well, thank you, Angela. It's been, I have a lot of respect for your work. It's been incredible interview and listening to you, and I know everybody, all my other co-hosts have really enjoyed it too. So thank you again.
Thank you, Brenda. It's been my absolute pleasure. And I hope to, you know, speak to you one day again soon.
We'll have to have you on again, definitely.
Because there's so many stories to say, to tell.
Oh, I know. And then we could talk about more. So I guess it's time for you to go to bed, huh, at 2 a.m.
Yes, it's time to have my cocoa. I've got my slippers on and off. I'm going to bed now.
Okay. Thank you so much, Angela.
Okay. Good night and God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, for more information or you want to make contact with Angela, you can reach her at www.angelamcgee.co.uk. Her contact information is also on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. I want everybody to be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, not now, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you're unable to catch our last week's show, somebody help me out. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
It was called Reinventing Yourself.
Reinventing Yourself.
Yes, it was very good. I just want to take over the show now, so I'm joking.
Yeah, that's right. No. You'll find a recorded archive link as well as the archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many of you as possible, so please share that link with others. Be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal, reincarnation, and the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychic. At psychicaccess.com. Would love to hear from you. And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show,
New
please
Jersey,
invite your friends
you might want
to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody, and I mean something for everybody. So please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. The call-in number for later, not now, but soon, at the end of the show is 724-444-4851, and I know Maureen probably popped it into the chat room. Again, 724-444-4851. Okay, let's start with our banter here. I'm going to start with Steve, since he is a medium. What did you think, Steve?
I thought she was wonderful. Really, just very genuine and pure-hearted. You can tell that she is focused on serving spirits and helping people, and that's just wonderful to hear.
What about the part where she was talking about the physical ailments or mediums having, you know, health issues and related in relation to working with spirit? Have you ever experienced that yourself?
Well, if you give a lot of mediumship readings back to back, it's physically exhausting. You feel just so drained. We're electromagnetic beings, and we connect to spirit through electromagnetism. In fact, it's through electromagnetism that we connect with our own souls in spirit. So we have a physical body here on Earth, and we have an astral body, also known as the soul or the spirit. It resides on the astral plane. A psychiatrist or psychologist would describe that as the unconscious mind. It's up there on the astral plane, and the physical body, the human brain, interacts with the astral being, the spirit or soul, through electromagnetism. It's the electro is the sun, the positive dynamic masculine energy of the sun, and the magnetic is the moon, the receptive feminine energy of the moon. And in effect, any time we're working psychically, when we're heightening our psychic ability, and particularly with mediumship, because it takes a very high frequency to connect with spirit, then yes, we're consuming that vital electromagnetic energy, and you feel exhausted. And if you do a lifetime of mediumship, it does have a very wearing effect on the nervous system.
There was a medium that I was from the past. Have you ever heard of Mary Valla? She wrote several books. She was an old lady. She was a medium, and she wrote several books. She got quite ill as a result of it.
Yeah, you don't find mediums living to a very old age, to be honest, because they consume their energy. They consume the energy of the physical being, the physical body. And so generally don't live long lives.
You know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know, it's interesting because I just recently became, somebody was talking about something that makes sense. Gamma rays also are, you know, gamma ray is, right, everybody? It's what they use for in the brain surgery and all that. But the gamma rays, I have some paranormal, you know, my paranormal pals, investigator pals, but one of them, and it makes so much sense, and it's actually a lot of other people are coming out with scientifically proving, because the gamma rays are a frequency that affects people that are empathic psychics, mediums. And what you can do is, and I tell you, it worked for me, because I've had so many problems with just what Steve and Brenda, you were talking about, of being drained, and my physical body gets, not just, you know, I'm a hypochondriac, get symptoms of pretty intense stuff, and then suddenly they'll go away. Like I get a heart condition, and boom, it's gone a year later, and I've been treated for one. But you put your finger on a – nobody should do – I may have brought this up before. Don't do this at home, anybody. But you put your finger not inside of a socket, but on the you know, the little screw thing that you screw in, the outlet, you know, the plate. You put your finger on that. If you put your finger on that, you'd be patient. Put your finger on it. After you've done a lot of readings, let's say, or done a lot of when you've got this stuff going on, and it will ground you, honestly.
Well, there are grounding devices you can actually buy.
Yeah.
You can actually buy a device that plugs into the mains that grounds you.
That makes
I didn't even know that. I just...
Yeah.
But the gamma rays are something that they're just figuring out because the investigators that are out there, that because there's... You know, the frequency range. And, you know, if we were zapped with a lot of, it's just a little bit. And so when people around doing investigations and they'll get, you know, they'll experience and they'll get scientifically, there's, you know, energies of whatever you want to call them, the paranormal going on. But when you have, if there's a psychic or an empath with these people, paranormal investigators, it's interesting because you get whacked out, and I know it started to make sense. So if you're with gamma, little bits, little tiny bits, I'm not talking about a lot, years and years and years, it's no wonder a lot of times we get whacked out physically. You know? Well, it's no wonder for me.
Well, I think that it affects everybody different. It really does. You know, for me, I can feel it right in the center, this third eye area. Like, it literally feels like it's frying. Like, and then I know, you know what? If it's starting to burn there, then maybe I need to ground or I need to refresh. I need to meditate.
On holiday.
Oh, yeah, but you know, just like she was saying.
I know.
Do any of us ever really have one day that goes by when we don't do a reading or have a psychic... communication.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Who we are. If we are what we are, no.
Well, I must say that reading tarot cards and the mechanics of astrology, these things are also inherently mediumistic in the sense that when a reader or anyone formulates a question, the question is actually formed on the astral plane. The answer is harvested from the astral plane. And the reason it works is because astral material is a tissue that connects us all. That's
why.
And
it's harvested.
It's psychoplasm,
isn't
it? I mean, it's what allows me, for example, to approach your problem with the same intensity and accuracy as you yourself would.
We need to harvest your brain then.
I'm not sure if that's harvestable. You might try to put it back. I once had someone ask me not to be myself because, you know, it's just too intense, I guess, sometimes. Can you be somebody else, Stephen? I was like, sure. Just kidding.
You know, Stephen, Zane claims that there are the two forms of mediumship. There's receptive, empathic mediumship.
Yes.
And there's intellectual mediumship. Or there's receptive ESP and there's intellectual ESP. And... I learned early on that I needed to very much control my mediumship. In other words, I told my guides when I was about 9 years old, I will not be just approached randomly. I'll decide when to switch on, and then I'm available to work. But beyond that, I'm just living my normal life. And I think that is intellectual ESP. It's when you consciously project your energy to address a problem, or sitting with a client and you say, yes, I'll contact Aunt Mary. And you proactively address spirit or the astral plane. And then there's the feeling ESP, which is when you're constantly switched on,
constantly switched on.
Yeah,
and that's the one that's wearing.
Yeah,
you're
right.
It drains your physical body because you're constantly being consumed
exactly by
what's going on around you and have to switch off.
Did you know there's a body type associated with that too? There really is.
Yep, I do
know. The more intellectual mediumship and ESP and psychic work are, you're going to find people who don't have as much body fat. I know, and it's not like fat so much as, like she was saying, retaining of water.
Oh, okay.
But you know what?
They have definite body types.
No, that makes sense when I'm older now, but when I was, my work, you know, I've been doing for 25 years, like you, Brenda, and mm-hmm. I was a very little thing. No, I mean, I was like 100 pounds, very, very thin, and hyper. but now that I've become older, maybe that's why I can't.
Yeah, Maureen, you've ballooned out to 105.
No, I have not.
She still has quite the
No, it's
nice
just,
figure.
No, it's just because also I don't take care of myself, and that makes a big difference. When
well,
you get older, an empath, and you're getting, you're right, and getting all that stuff, you need to take care of yourself doing this work in this kind of way.
The man that Steve mentioned, C.C. Zain, who is a pseudonym, an alter ego for a man named Albert Benjamin, and he's written extensively in the spiritual system that both Steve and I subscribe to and employ heavily in our work. He differentiates between mediumship. He says there's an active mediumship, like Steve described, of what he does, versus a passive mediumship, mm-hmm. which Zain had a very negative feeling towards. He's famous for saying there are gangsters and racketeers on the astral planes just as mm-hmm. there are on the physical plane. So that's always a point to remember. I'm always
and there are careful. There are. That's we know that there are because we know that there are people have negative spiritual experiences. Poltergeists manifest. There's obsession, possession.
Sure.
So there are many characters on the astral plane. It's not all light and roses.
The Jeffrey Dahmers of the world, the Al Capones of the world, the Charlie yep. Mansons of the world, they got an astral body too. They're not denied the astral experience just because they're terrible people. You know, so that's
did you, Stephen, on that point, did you know that James Holmes, who committed the shooting at the cinema
Aurora.
In Aurora, was Hitler's
right.
birthday?
No, I did not. It's sort of a
synchronicity.
Oh my God.
There you have it.
Oh, there's synchronicity right there.
Strange things occur on Hitler's birthday.
I did not know that. Hitler was a Taurus, believe it or not. It was so strange.
No, not so much.
He was despicable.
Not so much because
he's got
Taurus
a hideous chart. He's got a
Taurus,
very hideous chart, yeah.
And it's the opposite of Scorpio too, so it can be very dark.
In its
worst aspects.
And it's fixed, too. That's what's so bad about it. Once you get that badness in there, it never goes away. It's fixed. You know, mm-hmm. that's why
he has eyes like Manson. Do you notice that? Those really, like, it looks like the horse running from the burning barn.
Yeah. They bore into you.
They do. Really... They see kind of the whites around the top of them. That's her nutball eyes.
Did you? Seriously? What was the name of the serial killer in Texas in the 60s or 70s? Because I have a client who said she was driving along this road in the middle of nowhere in Texas, and there was a man walking, and sorry, go ahead.
I'm thinking you're talking about Henry Lee Lucas and his buddy, Otis Toole.
I'm not sure the name. I honestly can't remember the name, Stephen, but the story is fascinating because she said she was driving along this road, and she was about 18, 19, and this guy, it signaled as if to say, you know, pull over, I'm lost. And she slowed down in the car, and she was alongside him, and she looked at him, and she said she saw the face of a demon.
Yeah, I believe it.
The face of a demon was overlaced on this guy's face, and she learned a little while later that the gentleman she'd driven past was this mass murderer who was clearly somehow possessed.
Wow, she was definitely. Well, she was definitely.
Lucky. You could feel that stuff. You walk by people, it's like, ooh, and I don't like to feel that way because it's not logical, right? But that's why I always say, you know, everybody, we all have it in us. If you can tap into it in a healthy way. But the thing of it is, like, I think that person was called Elmer Wayne. I know who you're talking about, Steve.
Yeah, Wayne. Yeah, you're right.
Wayne Healy. They were, it was Dean Allen something, and Elmer Wayne Healy were, they were a team. They were like a team.
The Wayne Woods ring.
They were hitchhikers and all that. But you know, like Ted, I always talk about this, Ted Bundy. I don't care. He's so good looking and big thought. And he's, if I ran across him, I would have felt the energy and I would have trusted it and ran away.
Knowing human nature as I do, I'm surprised even after seeing the demon face that the lady did not give him a ride, believe it or not. I'm glad she didn't,
really?
Obviously.
Because we all just have been so in condition later to do not look beyond appearances, and we want to look at the nice things, the pretty cars, the pretty face. And if you feel your gut saying something else, run.
Run a mile, yeah.
Absolutely.
Don't walk, but run.
Or in Texas, run 100 miles.
Absolutely. You know,
I'll bring your
still not even see a gas station.
And let them know. You know how kids, like you're talking about, you know, children know it all the time. You can bring them to business meetings. They can sit right there, 3-year-olds, have them in a big business meeting with all the board of directors, CEOs, and they'll know who's messing when not on the up and up. They can feel it, and you can watch them. I always thought, yeah, I got a kid, that bring him wherever he needs to. You know, kids don't like certain, they don't take to certain ones, people. There's good reason, I feel, for that.
Yeah, dogs.
Do you remember
as well.
The Hillside Strangler, Maureen?
Oh, yes, I do.
I worked and in a place where he killed one of the girls that worked there.
And he's,
I was going
Richard,
to school.
Was it Richard?
I don't remember.
Yes. Yes. He was.
But I was working at night. I was I was a taxi dancer. Remember taxi dancers?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
I was a taxi dancer going through school. So, uh-huh. Yeah. One of the girls, and then they had detectives come, and they were staking the place out.
That must have been awful. Richard, whatever his name was. Yes. And you know what? That's right. That was during the time period. He was up in L.A. We came into L.A.
Yeah, he was right down downtown L.A.
Yes, that's
can't
right.
Richard
Ramirez is what his name was. That's sad. That's creepy, yeah.
That was very creepy.
Well,
believe it or not, one thing that I advise people, sometimes I get the occasional person who says they're molested or harassed by this spirit or that spirit, and I'm reminded by that quote from John Milton, author of Paradise Lost, and I'm paraphrasing here, Satan hates to be laughed at. You know, simply laughing at a negative entity can actually go a long way towards discouraging it, believe it or not.
Or
they hate to be mocked.
Or cackling. Cackling's even better.
Thumbing your nose at them. Well, you know what? We've got a caller for Steve from Iowa.
Steve. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let's see who's calling. Who's calling from Iowa? Are you on the line, Iowa?
Hello?
Hello, Iowa. Are you with us?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Donna.
Hello, Donna. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Well, how can we help you, Donna?
Well, for a long time, I wanted to talk to someone here. I am at a crossroads. I am stuck in my life. I'm stuck in two areas, my relationship and my job. I don't feel like I'm doing what I should be doing, and I just the universe isn't telling me the answer.
Okay. Well, Donna, the first thing my guides say to you is you are not stuck. You've become conscious. You were stuck. And now you've become conscious of the fact that the future should be better. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Now, my guides, just for your reference, my guides are saying to you that you have a grandmother in spirit. I know this is not your question, but I want to give this to you so that you can check it out. You have a wonderful grandmother in spirit. I feel that she's your mother's mother, not your father's mother. And she was born or passed in the month of October. And she's very much around you and is actually very excited that you have become conscious. You've become aware of the things that you want to change in life. You are in the wrong career. You're not just in the wrong job. You're in the wrong career. Okay? You've been successful. You've done well. I get the number 8, actually. Have you been in that job or that career for that field of work for 8 years? Because I get 8.
More like 25, but I did go to school, and then I'm not in the career that I went to school for.
Well, you see, I'm drawn back 8 years ago, and I feel that you're about to end another cycle of 9 years. So I'm drawn back to 8 years ago, a time when there was some change or some new focus in your career, but you're coming to the end of a cycle, and I feel that by February of next year you'll have worked this out and you'll have moved forward with your career. And I do feel very much as though that the role that you're in now, you're going to walk away from. But I also feel that you've got to really stay balanced and stay focused. You are going to have new opportunities, but it's not necessarily going to be an easy ride. You're going to have to really apply yourself. Spirit is saying that they're looking for you to really be... like they show me an image, but how do I describe it? Almost be a crusader, somebody that clearly strives forward, that goes after what she wants. You've got to have a vision. You've got to go after it. And if you do that, you've got about 7 months to get your vision in place, to make your path more solid, clearer. And I feel in February there's change, but I do feel that a lot is going to change in your life. I feel uncertain about your relationship as well. I feel that your partner is kind of lost, is being a bit of a martyr, is not really making enough effort anywhere in life. For some reason your partner feels almost defeated in life, and that's wearing you down. I feel as though your partner's got or is going to have some issues in career as well. But I feel that it can all be resolved. I don't feel that you'll continue in that relationship, but that doesn't mean that's the way it goes, because it's down to you. I'm saying to you, based upon how things are now, this seems to be the outlook. But it's your choice. I know that you're very intuitive and sensitive, and I know that things work out well for you, but you've got 7 months to get your plan straight. And you know, we can't go into the details of astrology on the show because it's too complex. Mm-hmm. But if you contact myself or Stephen or, in fact, any of us, Maureen, Brenda, we can look in more detail at what your correct path would be. But astrology is a great way of knowing what your greatest talents are and which direction you should take professionally. But certainly you've got lots of change ahead of you.
Yes, and I do the Destiny, the cards, and I'm a queen of clubs, so I'm intuitive and a nurturer.
Yeah,
but
trust me, the cards say it works out really well for you, but you're going to have to make effort. Unfortunately, it's not just going to land on your lap. You've got to do the hard work that needs to be done to get yourself where you should be, and I feel it can work out extremely positively for you. The outlook in the medium and long term is very, very good, okay?
Yes, that is fabulous. You're right on.
Thank you. Well, good luck to you. Now, my guides say to you, anything that causes discord, you lovingly release. You understand?
Yes, I do, actually.
Anything that causes discord, you lovingly release. That's what they're saying to you. I wish you lots of luck.
I think they personally know me.
They do.
Thank you very much.
You're a
much.
Very special person.
I appreciate it.
Okay?
Thank you.
Good luck.
Fabulous. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. That was great.
Yes.
Okay, Maureen, you have a caller from Florida.
Thank you. Hello, Florida. This is Maureen.
Hello.
Hi, and may I please have your name?
My name is Ebony.
Stephanie?
Ebony.
Ebony. I'm sorry, Ebony. Hi, yes. How are you?
Yes. How are you? I'm fine.
I'm fine, thank you. And what can I look into for you, help you with?
Oh, I want to know about my relationship in my near future.
Okay.
My career in the near future.
Thank you. That's a very good direct question. I appreciate that. Everybody listening to in your near future. Okay. You know, Ebony, I would like to ask you before I get what I'm getting. Is there somebody on your mind particularly, or are you open for anybody new? There is, okay, because...
I'm open for anything, really. Whatever you see, I'll be
okay.
appreciative.
But it... But I guess I am asking, it does look like there's been some unfairness surrounding a relationship situation here. So that's why I'm asking if indeed there was someone on your mind when you asked me that question that you know of already. And I understand that you say you're open. I see somebody that's not going to rise to the occasion that I feel you know of. And that's something that he needs to work out. And it's been unfair. You've probably gone through a lot of difficult times with this, but I feel that you really have you've put boundaries in place, which is fantastic, because like I said, I'm just seeing somebody that you know of, like, and I see him coming back around,
yes.
But he's still on a lower vibration of himself. He's a great person when he's not, but he's not in the best of ways. So with that said, I feel that you know you have a handle on that, but still I am glad to hear you're very healthy. I admire that for you saying you're open, because you know that you can't help him. He's got to get it together. So his lessons are his. And I do see you heading in, I'm not seeing a particular person, but I see you heading in a very, very positive direction. And you didn't ask me this, but both as far as every area of your life, in business, in a lot of success in business and your personal life, and within the next 9 months. Now, I'm not saying you have to wait the full 9 months, but I see complete success and contentment. I'm not getting the face of the person particularly, but I do feel that you're heading in that direction where you will attain what you very much deserve, because you've been through so much and you've done a lot of work. I'm also getting a change of residence. Maybe there's a change of something going on, like September. I'm getting September. There's something very new, a new beginning. And I do feel this person and you will have a very strong bond, and you can call it what you want. Okay, here I'm getting the look of somebody. He looks like somebody. He's very different by personality or the energy, but than the one I was just speaking of prior to this. He looks like somebody that's a little bit more, he's very aggressive or assertive. Let's put it this way. And he's a militant. I'm not saying that's what he does, but he has that militant energy. He's very strong and knows where he's heading and so on. I feel that he's going to be someone that you'll connect with, but it's not going to be him that I'm actually seeing along the way within a 9-month period. I see you, from him though, I see you going into someone. You know how some doors open, some doors close, they say? It's kind of like this relationship thing. It's like a third person I see, counting the first one. You know, I know that you could have anybody you want. I mean, you could be with anybody you want, but I know that what I'm seeing here is the fact that you've done what you've done, your work and on yourself, and the timing isn't the best to be opened up to someone in a very special, someone that's real special, but I do feel like sometimes we need to get to another person in whatever reasons it leads you to another. And You're gonna attain exactly what you desire, and you so deserve it. I would not let go of the faith. You've been through a lot in the past.
Yes,
and,
I have.
And
I know you see that, because I've talked to a psychic before, and they always try to give me something in like a short period of time, but it's so much because I've been through a lot. So I know where you're coming from with that. But the main thing I really want to know is my finances. I'm not comfortable with them right now, so do you see them taking a turn for the better or the worse?
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, I made a note of that, even though you didn't ask. I said, I see you heading in the direction. This is like into the November month. I see so much success surrounding you for things, and even within the 9-month period, very much success in your career. Or you're a visionary businesswoman. You don't worship money, but you have a way about anything that you touch can be very successful. And other people see you in that way. And I see you attaining both success on your personal level and in the work that you do, in exactly what you want to do, not with what you don't like to do. It's so a work that is like your passion, what you're supposed to do. And it is fantastic. What I would like to say to you is you've got this great ability to hang on to your faith. And whatever that means, I'm not talking about how you have to go to church, whatever that means for anybody, keeps their faith.
Right.
keep, that is the most, I mean, the brightest light surrounding you. That is the most important thing. Oh, I'm encouraging you to continue to hold on and do what you must. In, like, if you go to church, do that. If I go to the beach or do whatever and look at the dolphins, mm-hmm. for me, that gives it to me. And so whatever it means for you, that is what I see to be the most greatest thing that you have to work with to keep you on the straight, narrow line where you're heading. There's no more delays here. If things have been unfair, it's your time. It's very good. Very, very good. So I hope I helped you.
Yes, you did. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Now we have another caller. We have a caller for Stephen from New Jersey. But before we do, I'd like to announce the number again. The call-in number is 724-444-4851. And we're taking questions from calls and also from the chat, but we'd like to get to the phone calls first. And I want to make a point that we can really only take one question at a time, just because of our time constraints and other people waiting for their for their free reading. And if you ever, if you want to follow up with one of our psychics, one of our hosts here, you can reach us at www.psychicaccess.com. Okay, Stephen, you have a call from New Jersey.
Thank you, Lady Brenda. New Jersey, how may I help you this evening?
Hi, how are you? And thank you for taking my call. My name
yes,
is
ma'am.
Simone, and I would like to know if I will eventually get a job. I've been in the job market for 2 years. I had a long career in financial services. And then I got laid off. Been interviewing, have an interview tomorrow. I've been doing a lot of research, educating myself, but still can't quite get a permanent job. So do you see me eventually having my career go back in the right direction or getting a job soon?
Absolutely. It is going to go in the right direction. What I want you to do, though, is batten down the hatches, okay? You have to be prepared for dissatisfaction in your career, quite possibly until the winter. But I want you to know that things are going to start turning in your direction gradually. We're not talking about an overnight sensation here. So the pertinent thing is that life is going to start improving little by little, and this is going to start happening in the fall. What I see very, very clearly is you're going to escape from whatever financial material dangers that you're in right now. You're going to get your career back on track. What I see now is that you're struggling to get where you need to be. What I also see is extreme satisfaction coming your way very soon, starting in the autumn. Okay. And furthermore, it's going to be a satisfaction that you have earned. We're not talking winning the lottery. We're not talking someone giving you anything. We're talking efforts you've made, sacrifices you've made in the past, paying off for you in the future. It's going to feel like luck, like good fortune, like extreme good luck. That's what it's going to feel like when it hits. This time next year, you're going to be like, man, I can't even believe I worried about this. I wasted all that time staying up at night worrying, and I wished I could have that time back. So I'm telling you right now, don't worry. Have faith, because you're going to be in control of things. You don't have to worry. Yeah, everything that I see here, and I see it very clearly, I see an increase in your enthusiasm. I see an increase in your ambition. I see an increase not only in your – we're not talking about just financial – rectification, a balancing out of the financial scales. Let me be very clear about this. We're talking about an emotional satisfaction with your job, Simone.
Correct.
Okay, and that's what you're going to have. You're not going to make your money doing something outside of your chosen profession. Okay? You're going, so don't worry. Don't worry. The ill effects you're seeing now are a result of a negative economy. Nothing personal for you, and your opportunities are coming.
Okay.
Now, do you have any questions about that or anything that I said that concerns you?
It was just funny because you're right. I stay up at night just worrying because I have a little one. So that's why you said sleepless nights. I haven't had a sleepless night for the past year. So you are right.
Oh, I really wish you wouldn't do that. I mean, try not to, because it's such a way. Think of the damage you're doing to your body. You know, the universe, God, the supreme being, the creator, the almighty, whatever you believe in, is not going to let that little one go to harm. You have my promise on that. You're a good mother. I can tell that. Your determination is going to see you through. Right now is the worst period that you're in. I see that very clearly as well. What we're talking about here, Simone, let me be also very clear, is we're talking about the darkest hour before the dawn, you see. Okay? The dawn is about to come. The sun is about to rise in your world. Hang tight for another couple of months. Opportunities will start materializing in the autumn. Okay?
Okay. Yes.
I hope that's helped you, Simone. You feel better? Try not to do all that worrying, okay?
Yes.
Well, look, next time you're in the crossroads in life, I hope you'll come and see us at psychicaccess.com. Any one of us will be delighted to help you out with your problems, okay? We're going to help you navigate these troubled waters.
Okay, well, I'll start going to your website and, you know, try to locate you and get a further reading after this.
Oh, yes, ma'am. We offer you a free 6-minute reading, so please feel free to come visit us. We're all very, very eager to help you, sensitive and qualified. So thank you for calling me up tonight, Simone. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, and God bless.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you as well.
Thank you, Stephen. That was awesome.
Thank you, Lady Brenda.
I have a caller from Georgia. Hi, Georgia. How are you this evening? Georgia? Oh, it looks like they hung up.
Hello.
Oh, hello there. Is this okay?
Hi.
Hi, Georgia. How are you doing this?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm all right. What can I do for you this evening? What can I help you with?
Right. Is this Brenda?
This is Lady Brenda.
Wait. Okay. I just wasn't sure who I was talking to. So I get right down. Just in case I need to follow up. I almost kind of the same situation as Simone. Kind of looking for employment, and it's just been one roadblock after the other. I think I'm getting ready to get an offer. I don't get an offer. I think something is going to happen, and it's just they tell me they're going to call me back, and it just doesn't happen. So do you see when the tides are going to turn where I actually get a job and they stop lying to me?
Oh, don't you hate it? Let's take a look here.
Well, it's just so unprofessional to me. I mean,
it is unprofessional, and there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that you don't see that's on the backstory that's behind all of this. You know, what the biggest thing that I see is that you haven't quite gotten to the right position for yourself. I'm getting the number 3, but it translates to me as within 3 weeks. However, it looks like it's going to be a callback from a man. And I feel that this man is going to make a decision. And it looks to me to be like a second interview or something like that. Have you been interviewing at all?
Yeah, I have, but the two that I actually had 3 things on the plate. 2 of them are out, so the one that's left, I haven't even started the process that I'm hoping to start the process with.
It feels like this man, when I look into him, he's going to communicate with you, and this is within the next 3 weeks. I know that you've been putting a lot of this out, and it's about putting the energy out, so, you know, you're in an attraction energy for work and money right now. It just looks like it was held up, and this is of no fault of your own. This is a cycle that you're in, but you're going to break the cycle. You'll be celebrating by mid-August. That's what I see. So if things have seen a little bit blocked, it's just because those situations and those jobs were not meant for you. There is something out there, and I feel that it is something that you have already put the feelers out to, even applied to, that's coming back. It's just taken a while. And an older man will contact you about this job. Yeah. You will be in solid employment by September 1st. That's what I see.
Do you have any type of description or anything, like on the building, anything else besides the man or anything? Because
yes,
I totally don't know.
The building is not, it might be two stories, but it doesn't look like it's more than two stories.
I can say, okay, that's what you're talking about.
I didn't hear you. What?
Excuse me, ma'am?
What did you say? I didn't hear that last part. Go ahead.
Oh, I said, so then I can say, okay, that's what Brenda was talking about, or I remember her speaking about this. You know what I mean? Just something to say, okay, this is maybe it.
Okay. Well, what I see is the building doesn't look like a tall building. It looks like if it has two stories, maybe that's it. And around it is a small lawn, and there's trees. It looks like there's greenery around it. I don't see it in the view of water. It's not far from where you live. I don't see it much of a drive at all, maybe 15, 20 minutes. I see the color red, like an orange red, so it could be brick or have some accents like that. There will be some negotiation over your salary, but it turns out for the better instead of the other way. At this time, I really see that it's the one that's unexpected. This comes, it could even come out of the blue, is what I see.
Okay. Hopefully that works, because I need to go to work a long time ago. And I'm like Simone, I'm losing sleepless nights, or I just don't sleep because I'm so stressed out. I mean, beyond, I'm so stressed out, it's just stressed out and overwhelmed. It's just, and I'm trying to study, and then I got just diagnosed with celiac disease, and it's just one thing after the other that's just, I'm just like, I can't take it. I need to breathe. So hopefully this is the turn of the tide for me.
This is a light at the end of the tunnel, and I know it's hard to find the calm in the center of this storm, but you'll have to take a minute of your life, of 5 minutes, 10 minutes out of your life daily to just go, you just release some of that fear, so that all this positive energy, job opportunities and all this stuff comes your way, because you don't want to push away stuff with fear, you know? And it's so easy to do, because if you're in survival mode, that's what happens, you know?
Right. Right. But I'll try. I mean, I try. Yeah. I fluctuate back and forth. And so
I know. It's hard not to. We're human. It's hard not to. We have to walk in this physical world. So, well, good luck to you. I know it's coming.
Okay. Thank you so much. And have a good evening.
You're welcome. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, let's see if there's any chat questions. Let me give the number out again in case somebody wants to call. It's 724-444-4851. I guess we're back to banter. Who has something to contribute? Maureen, I can count on you.
I hear Stephen. The way it's almost like opening a door, creak. He's coming in, but through the mic, it's like, hey, you can hear. Okay, whatever. It'll be real quick, you know, because the show is called Psychic Detective, and I know that she spoke about a lot of different things. I wanted to bring up this because I feel that it must be brought up. It's for everybody to hear, but I, you know, for 2004, I got involved with Child Finders, and it's not about me being a detective or anything, but we helped, you know, find missing children all over the United States. And also we did for Europe, and also we try and help find adults. But we did it with a matrix system this individual put together. And all of the authorities in the United States wanted to work. They were all open. It's amazing how things have changed. Brenda, you could probably appreciate this. Because when I was in Long Beach in the 1980s, it was very hush-hush for the Long Beach police department anyway, to bring in any of us to try to give them some help with any help. You know, no matter how silly it was, they would just didn't want to have it. It was really sad. But the child finders, anybody can participate in it. And you can just go to the Missing and Exploiting Children's website. And police force, sheriffs, everybody around. If you see a missing child, they'll be happy to take anything. You don't have to put your name down or whatever. But it was very fulfilling. And like I said, I have gotten away from it a bit. I'm very sad sometimes. But it's not so much about psychic detective, but it would be about, you know, what direction do you see them going in? Southwest. If you could, it would be like a certain questions, and you could, you know, like a. It's almost like remote viewing in some ways, doing it that way. So if
that's
anybody,
fascinating.
Yes, and anybody can do it. It was, and if you saw someone with a color, any color or any type of any, it wasn't like you'd sit there and go, "I see them in this." We would go through. It was like remote viewing certain things, the questions we would ask ourselves.
I love all that stuff.
Yeah, and it's nice to give. And it was, yeah. But certainly I wouldn't be like, "What's her Fanny?" getting on there saying, "Your tin's dead." You know, we all don't like her. You know, "What's her Fanny?" You know, we talked about her. Anyway, well, I think there's a call.
Yeah. It looks like Iowa likes Steve tonight. I've got another call, Steve, from Iowa.
I'm popular in Iowa.
Random
calls. They have not to do with me.
No, they psychically are going to get to you.
Who's calling from Iowa?
Hi, this is Lori.
Hello, Lori. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great, Lori, as well. Thank you. How can I help you?
Oh, just looking for some advice.
Okay.
Boy, where do I start? Love life and career, I'm kind of stuck on.
You're unsure of career?
Just feel like I'm kind of stuck right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel as though you've done well in the past, but I feel you've fallen out of love with the work that you're doing, and you feel the need to move on. I feel as though you've done well financially in your career, but it's as though really it doesn't turn you on anymore. It feels somehow conflicted. It seems somehow that the work you're doing doesn't gel well with your deepest desires. And so I feel that a leap of faith is required. I feel... let me see. I honestly feel like you've really got to go back to basics. It's almost as though you need to take a day at home with a meditation and... a nice coffee or cup of tea, whatever you enjoy, and just take a day that is just about envisioning the future. Because what my guides make me feel is you just don't have a clear vision of what it is you want to move towards. You feel stuck. You know that you want to move on. You know that you want to move forward, but you haven't got this clear vision of what it is you want to do or what it is that you're most passionate about. So you feel stuck in the now, but I don't feel as though you've got the vision in place for the future that's going to actually help you to move towards it. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense, yes.
So don't worry about now. Don't worry about what you've been doing. Don't worry about where you are now. Dream. It's time to dream. It's time to forget all of the details. Forget how you feel about now. It's time just to visualize, what do you love doing? What are your greatest talents? Get the StrengthsFinder book by Tom Rath, R-A-T-H. Order it on Amazon, $10. Do the survey. It'll tell you your greatest natural talents. Play with your deepest innate talents, the ones that you were born with. Go back to those and create a picture of what it is you really want to do in your career. And that really means looking at who you are. Who am I? What is my path? How am I to make a difference in the world? What do I do best and easily and joyfully? What would make me happy? Waking up in the morning excited about my work, never feeling down about it, never feeling held back. I feel as though you'll work for yourself. And I know that you're wonderful with people. I know that you've got a great ability with marketing and almost describing what other people have to offer, but you need to do that for yourself. So it's a question of meditating and reflecting. And, well, I was going to use a British expression, which is a bit vulgar, but holding your balls and holding your balls and saying, you know, I am going to do this. This is my authentic path. It may not happen overnight. It may not unfold easily. I may be challenged. There may be things I have to undertake to show my commitment and make this work, but I'm going to hold my balls and I'm going to do it. You know, for example, I was in corporate finance. When I told them I was leaving to be a psychic medium and astrologer, I was laughed at. They're now some of my best clients. And I'm happier, more fulfilled and healthier than I've ever been. So it's about going back to your authenticity.
Okay. Am I in the right field,
brave? No, I don't feel you are. I feel as though your field of work has been good experience that will be beneficial. But by March of next year, you'll have shifted big time.
Really?
So get the StrengthsFinder tool, learn about yourself, get hold of the Enneagram book, Understanding Personality Types, think, but have a really wonderful day just focused on you. What am I best at? What do I want to do? How do I want to make my living and contribute? Because if you take that path, that's how you'll be most rewarded in terms of health, balance, happiness, and material reward as well.
I just
You've
feel
got
so
great
blocked.
Writing ability as well.
Okay. Is there a way to get unblocked?
Yes. You have to decide that you're going to live life to its fullest. No compromises. It doesn't unfold overnight. But yes, you have to decide to go for it.
Gotta
no matter
out
who
what
laughs,
is.
No matter what people say, no matter what people think, go with your authentic path. Okay?
Okay.
And if we can help you more, come and see us on Psychic Access. And look at your astrology as well. Your astrology is a guidebook that should be given to the parents when the child is born. It says what you're best at. It says how you will be most successful and happiest and healthiest.
And it's right on with what I do, which is interesting. And I feel
you're
like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm just not. There's something missing. I'm looking for a different job, and I keep getting knocked down, so to speak, and I don't know why, because I feel like I am good at what I do.
You're good at what you do, but it's not what you want to be doing, ultimately. So you've got to genuinely go back to what you want to do. And I feel that you're wonderful with people. I feel like you need to investigate things like neuro-linguistic programming, shifting the psyche.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested.
But you'll know. You'll be transitioned by spring, and enjoy the process of identifying your path.
Do I have spiritual guides around me?
Yes, you do, and I'm so glad you asked me because when people ask me this question, I normally say, "Oh, I'm not, of course you do, but I'm not quite sure of the details." But you have a guide called Alicia.
Alicia?
You have a guide called Alicia. Because before you asked that, you're very psychic, because you're in tune with what I was feeling, because my guide said to me, well, before you let her go, tell her she's got a guide. The name is Alicia. And then you said to me, do I have a guide?
Hmm.
You have wonderful guides, and you can, as you get clarity on your path, more guides will move in, but they won't interfere with your paths. You have to define it. Okay? You're going to come into money as well next year. March, April next year, you come into some money.
Again?
It's thousands rather than hundreds. And that will help you because it will give you a buffer, some confidence to fall back on. Okay?
I didn't catch that. What did you say about next year?
March, April, you come into some money. It feels like several thousands, not hundreds. It's about 22,000, 23,000. And you've got a lady in spirit called either Mary Lou or Mary Ann. I didn't catch it. She's a great aunt or great grandmother. If you look for her, you'll find her. She passed in September. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Steve. That was a great reading. That was really good. Well, this brings us yet again to the end of another wonderful show. I want to thank the people in chat room, and I want to thank Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. Thanks to all my co-hosts for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be hosted by Steve. Steve, what do you have in store?
Next week we have Alan McRae, and we will be talking about spiritual alchemy.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
Yeah, so we'll be learning about alchemy, scientific alchemy, but we'll be correlating it with spirituality and our purification, how we relinquish the dross within ourselves to become purer and therefore more powerful alchemically. So we're really talking about what many people would describe as the law of attraction, but we'll go into far more detail and answer some of the unanswered questions about the law of attraction and why it doesn't always work for people. She's a wonderful guest. It's going to be a great show.
Oh, we're looking forward to it.
Sounds very interesting. Yes.
Well,
good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Bless your hearts. Good night. Yeah.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.